beside the gate of heaven, waiting to go in. And he wondered how this holy place could take a man like him. With shouts of great rejoicing and with music then they came. Of the angel standing by him, he asked what could be their name.
These are the company of prophets, the goodly fellowship of souls, who spake God's word with faith and boldness, who blessed the poor and made the wounded whole.
Oh, he fell upon his knees and he cried, I am not one of these. He waited till another band of shining ones drew nigh. They entered into heaven with a hallelujah cry. He asked again, who are these? Can you tell me whence they came? He seemed to see the answer in a burning tongue of flame.
These are the company of martyrs, the fellowship of saints, who knew our Lord and walked beside him, who ran the holy race and did not faint.
Oh, he fell upon his knees and he cried, I am not one of these. Then suddenly a multitude was heard from far away. Their voices rang with songs of joy, like children at their play. He saw Rahab, he saw David, Mary Magdalene and Paul. And the thief who died by Jesus was the one who led them all. Who are these?
These are the sinners saved by grace, the host of them who called upon the Savior, washed in blood and justified by faith.
And though he leaped up from his knees, oh, I can go in with ease,
and I can go in, for my heart is free from sin. I've been washed in the blood, everlasting life to win. I can rejoice, I can lift up my voice, I can sing, and I can go in.
Oh, he thought that there could be no hallelujahs and no cries for this lowly band of people by the world despised.
But as the scenes of heaven opened up before his eyes, he saw the martyrs and the prophets and the hosts of heaven rise.
And they sang, I can go in, for my heart is free from sin. I've been washed in the blood, everlasting life to win. I can rejoice, I can lift up my voice, I can sing, and I can go in. rejoice. I can lift up my voice, I can sing, and I can go in, I can go in.
Amen. Thank you so much for what a beautiful song. Amen. Both of our specials today, beautiful songs, great messages in song. And I'm thankful to God for special singing here at Fellowship Baptist Church. You have your Bible open on this Mother's Day Sunday to Proverbs chapter number 31. And, you know, many ladies, when they read the book of Proverbs, because of intimidation, they stop at chapter 30. Because when you get to chapter 31, oftentimes I've had ladies tell me, you know, that chapter's intimidating, preacher. It intimidates me. Well, let me first of all assure you that God did not give this chapter to intimidate you. He gave this chapter to encourage you, to challenge you, to give you a standard, something to shoot for. You know, I would rather have a standard and aim for it and come short of it than to aim at mediocrity and hit it every time, wouldn't you? I'm glad that God gives us something to aim at in life. And so today as I preach the message to you, it's for everyone. It's for man, woman, boy, and girl, but it's particularly aimed toward our ladies. And I've already told you, ladies, I thank God for you. I thank God for the godly ladies of Fellowship Baptist Church. And I want to encourage you today. I want to preach a message to you, a tribute to mothers, a tribute to our mothers. And I believe with all of my heart that is what Psalm 31 verses 10 through the remaining of the chapter, verse number 31 is. Now I have several things I want to say out of the scripture, and I'll highlight it. There's no way in the 30, 45 minutes that I'm going to take this morning that I can give you all that Psalm 31 verses 10 through 31 has to offer. And even if I had longer, I don't know that I could exhaust it. I'm limited in my ability. I'm learning from the scripture. I'm still learning. And I pray that you will always remember that as long as you're learning, you're living. And as long as you're living and learning, you're growing. Amen? And that's what it's about. I read some interesting things this week. First of all, I was reading about how that this chapter intimidates ladies. And one guy said, you know, it's about like two cows out in the field grazing. And all of a sudden, a milk truck drives by, you know, and on the side of the milk truck, it's got, you know, homogenized milk, pasteurized, sanitized with vitamin D. And one of the cows looked at the others and says, makes you feel inadequate, doesn't it? So ladies, I don't want you to, when I tell you what the scripture says, I want you to know it's not to make you feel inadequate. Because I believe that many of the ladies of our fellowship today are following suit of what God has given. And we all have our strengths and our weaknesses. And God's not attacking you with His Word. God is building you up. God is encouraging you. And I want that to be the message today. Speaking of mothers, I every year I do this. I really enjoy doing this. I have this website that I go to. It's for children. And it asks children different questions. And you know, it's a wonderful thing to listen to the children as they talk. And this year, the question on the website was this. It was to children, and here was the question: why did your mommy marry your daddy? And I got to tell you, I chose just two of the top answers here. Here was the first one. Why did your mommy marry your daddy? Now, this was a second grader that said this. Well, she got old. She got too old to do anything else with him. And then another one said this. Well, I don't know, but Grandma said she didn't have her thinking cap on. Amen. Oh. Abraham Lincoln said this, ladies, and I could not agree more. No man is poor who has a godly mother. Now let me say that again. Abraham Lincoln said, no man is poor who has a godly mother. I don't know all about the beginning of this national day that we have set aside. I've read its history. There's a few varying thoughts about it. I know there was a lady by the name of Ann Jarvis who began a writing campaign for her mother because she wanted to honor her mother. And that writing campaign began to grow, and it finally reached the president's office. And the second Sunday in 1914, May the 9th, President Woodrow Wilson declared that Sunday, the second Sunday of every May, Mother's Day. And I quote, this is what he said. He said, "I do it as," and I quote, "a public expression of love and reverence for the mothers of our country." Did you know that since that time and since they have been recording, there's been more cards and more phone calls on this day than any other day of the year? And I think mothers are worth it, don't you? If you're here today and you're a mother, I want you to stand to your feet. If you're a mother, I want you to stand to your feet. I want you to look around you now. Ladies, I tell you, we are so grateful for you. We are just so thankful. What strength and honor is represented in our congregation today. You may be seated. I don't know that what I may be speaking today to a lady that maybe you feel like your contribution is small or that goes unnoticed. There's a God in heaven who sees everything you do. He not only sees what you do, but He knows why you do it. Sometimes I realize that there's ladies in, that you're out there and you're a single mom or you have extenuating circumstances that, well, you just can't write on a piece of paper. You know, you just can't put it on an application, or you just can't put it in a referral, or you can't put it in writing. But God knows about it. God knows. God knows your lot in life. God knows exactly what you need. And I'm glad that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. I'm thankful to the Lord for that. This morning, I want you to turn your attention with me to Proverbs chapter 31, and we'll begin just to go down verse by verse. There's two things in this section that I hope to bring to your attention today, and they're both found in verse number 10. And so I pray that you will notice them with me. Look at verse number 10, and there's two words that will stand above all else that I say, because everything else comes under these two words. First of all, it's virtuous. Now, when the writer here says, "Who can find a virtuous woman?" When he asks this question, what does that word mean? What is he asking here? This is speaking of a moral strength. It's speaking of an integrity that is missing in our day. He's saying, who can find a virtuous woman? Who can find a woman that is morally strong, that has some character, that has some virtue? You see, virtue outweighs beauty every time. Now, don't misunderstand me. Beauty means something. But there'll be one day that beauty may not be there. But did you know that virtue, and it's your choice, can last as long as you live? Virtue. Virtue. So that's the first word that we'll begin to build some truth around in this section. And then there's value. Look, if you would, he said, who can find a virtuous woman? And then he makes this statement, for her price or her value is far above rubies. Now, you would think that with the infatuation that our society has with diamonds, that perhaps the author here would say her value is far above diamonds. But as I mentioned earlier, the diamond is just really a reflector of light. It reflects outwardly the light that it's shone upon it. Whereas a ruby, it has a glow from within. And because virtue and value, these things go together, God moved upon this man's heart to speak of the ruby and not the diamond. And so here's two words that I want to talk to the ladies about this morning. Virtue and value. You know, if you're a man in our congregation or a child in our congregation and you have a wife or a mother that has these two things, you're blessed beyond measure. I mean, you're blessed beyond measure. And heard about a little fella this week, and this is a true story, who his church, the church that he was attending, they were putting on a Christmas play. And the little fella, you know, I think he was like in the second grade, maybe the first grade, and then he had one line. You know that saying, you had one thing, amen, you had one thing to do. Well, he forgot it. And his line was, Jesus is the light of the world. I mean, he had kind of like that last line in the Christmas play, and after all that was done, he was just going to step forward and in the big finale, Jesus is the light of the world, and everybody was going to stand and clap and talk about how cute it was. So he's standing there, and the play's about to come to an end, and then he thinks, I forgot my line. I do that sometimes when I'm preaching. Amen. I forgot my line. Yeah. And so he's struggling. Well, his mother's sitting on the front row, and he looks at her, and he's going, I forgot my line. And so she's mouthing to him, you know, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. And so he's going, huh? And I am the light of the world. Oh, he said, okay. So then he steps up and he says, my mom is the light of the world. You know, that's the way it is sometimes. It really is. Now, we know Jesus is the light of the world. But I tell you, every person here, if you had a mother that raised you and cared for you and provided for you and did for you, you can say, my mother is the light of the world. She means more to me. Amen. Let's look at what great truth we have here. And I want you just to follow me. I'm just going to give you some truth that I believe will help you. And I pray to God that it would encourage the ladies here. The first thing I want you to notice is how that the book of Proverbs here talks about the great worth. The great worth. Notice what he said. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Not just above. It's far. Listen, it so exceeds anything that money can buy. Any material thing, there's just nothing like a good godly mother and a good godly lady. And so he said, who can find this virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. Look in verse number 11. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. You know, there's nothing like a loyal, faithful, godly lady. And so here he's talking about the moral strength and the integrity. He's talking about the worth of a lady. The worth of a wife, a godly wife. You know, the Bible says that he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. I want to say amen to that. Amen. Amen. Listen, if you're here today and you're married to a good lady, a lady who fears the Lord. By the way, this lady fears the Lord. Notice if you would. Go, if you would, to verse number 30. It says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. Now, don't you think for a moment that the author here is saying that a lady shouldn't take care of herself and do her best and be her best. That's not what it's saying at all. That's not what it's saying at all. It's just saying that one day these things may pass, but there's an inner strength. There's an inner beauty that can continue on even as you grow old in age. And the scripture says this, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Talking about the great worth. If we go back into verse number 11, it says that her husband, the heart of her husband does safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good. Now listen, ladies. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Her commitment is to her husband. She's not flirtatious. She's not playing the field. She's committed. She's doing him good all the days of her life. She's doing what is right. She's doing what is honorable. She's faithful. She's loyal. Who can find this woman? The scripture says. Where is this woman? I believe there's many in this congregation this morning. I really do. With all of my heart. I tell you, I'm so thankful. I'm so grateful. Men, if you have not already today told your wife that you love her and you thank God for her, you ought to make it a special point today. Place a special emphasis on letting your wife and the mother of your children know how special she is and how important she is in your life. Who can find this woman? Who can find her? I found me one. Amen. How about you, men? Did you find you one? Did you find you a virtuous woman? Her price, listen, she was not for sale, but thank God if she was, I wouldn't have been able to afford her. Amen. I mean, her price is far above rubies. You can't put a price on virtue, brethren. You can't put a price on real value. And this is what we're learning here. We're learning that there's some things that money cannot buy. Money can buy sex, but it can't buy love. Listen to me now. Money can buy a lot of things, but there's a lot of things that money can't buy. And I've lived long enough to learn that it's the things that money cannot buy that seem to be the most worthwhile in life. And so here we have this great worth placed upon this lady. And I believe it's God's way of saying, ma'am, I created you to have extolled upon you the great worth. You should be recognized as one who is of great worth. You should realize your worth and your contribution. We live in an age when women want to be men. And when men want to be women, oh, I can't figure it out. I think it's craziness. I think it's crazy that a man would want to be a woman. It's of the devil's what it is. But it's craziness. What woman would want to be a man? Why would you want to be an old stinking man? Amen. What woman would want to be a man? That's craziness. Here the Bible says when you found a good woman, you found something special. And every man in our congregation, if you found that good woman, now you let God bring her to you. And when God brings her to you, she's the right one. Amen. You know, there's a lot to be learned, and this is not in the message, but it's going to be now. I'm inserting it. There's a lot to be learned when you go back to Genesis chapter 2. We've got a lot of people out there trying to find them something, trying to get them something. If you'll be patient and wait on the Lord, God will bring them to you. Well, I tell you, Adam, he didn't go to God and say, God, give me a wife. God, give me a wife. God said, Adam, I'm going to give you a wife. Isn't that what the Bible teaches? It sure is. And God put him down too, laid him down, put him to sleep. And when he woke up, he saw the most beautiful part of God's creation. She was so beautiful that when Adam seen her, he said, whoa, man. And so then the word woman caught on. Amen. That's right. Listen, you look at that. Whoa, man, woman. Oh, listen, what a beautiful thing God created. And we ought to be so thankful that God brought the right one into our lives. You ought to praise God for that, man. And ladies, you ought to know the worth. So number one, the worth. There's the worth, all right? There's the worth. Now, I want you to notice a phrase here that I found very interesting. The heart of her husband, verse 11, doth safely trust in her, watch it now, so that he shall have no need of spoil. In other words, she can be trusted with the bank account. Amen. She can be trusted that she's going to make wise. And when you study this scripture, you'll find that here was a lady that was very prudent. She was very wise. She was one who had wisdom. She was one who understood the value and the worth of things that really matter. There's an old proverb that says, theirs was a great marriage, except for one feminine flaw. He was fast to make the deposit, but she was quicker to make the draw. You don't want to be that. You don't want to be some spendthrift that goes out and just spends everything without calculating the cost and without looking. Listen, and the scripture says here that her husband does safely trust in her so that he would have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of his life. Then he goes from a great worth to great works. Look at verse 13 and 14. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly, watch this now, with her hands. You know, God help us to get back to the days where the older women are teaching the younger women. You know, young ladies, can I encourage you to open yourself up to the ministry of older ladies? There's some good ladies in this congregation that could teach you some things. They could teach you some things you could never get out of a book. They can teach you some values in life. They can impart to you some wisdom that will help you and save you many a heartache. And can I say something to the aged women of our congregation? Would you take a young lady under your wing and teach them something? Would you invest in their life? Did you know if you'll read Titus chapter 2, you'll find that that's God's way. Brethren, we've got a problem in our nation. We have the wrong people teaching our young ladies. Now listen to me now. We've got the wrong people teaching our young people, period. But I'm talking to ladies today. We have the wrong people teaching our young ladies in our society today. What does the Word of God say? When you get home today, look at Titus chapter number 2. Paul told Titus there, he said, Titus, I want you to start a special ladies ministry in the church. Amen. Special ladies ministry. What would that be, Brother Paul? He said, I want you to start a ministry where the aged are teaching the younger. Oh, we need to catch on to that. Good were the days when that was something that people took heed to, and the older taught the younger. Now it seems like the younger don't think the older knows anything. Seems like the younger, and it's not all on the younger now, so I'm not pointing the finger at just the young ones here. A lot of the older ones have just quit teaching and stepped aside and say, I have nothing else to offer. You have much to offer. You have much to offer. You say, well, I'm not an older lady. Well, none of them. I've never met an old lady. Amen. They're all young if you ask them. That's right. You say, well, I know a lot of ladies who won't admit their age. I know a lot of men who don't act their age either, but that's not. Listen to me. Hear me. Ladies of our congregation, find you a young lady and invest in her life. And young lady, when a woman takes you under her wing and tries to impart to you, don't you scoff at that and put that off. Notice what it says in verse number 13. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like, in verse 14, the merchant ship and bringeth her food from afar. Now what is God wanting us to see here about this woman? The work of the woman. We've seen the worth. The work. Okay? She's not looking just for convenience. Notice what it says in verse number 14. She bringeth her food from afar. She's willing to do what it takes. Can I say that I have been around long enough to know that a good woman, and there's plenty of them, there's good mothers in our congregation, good ladies, they're just willing to do what it takes. I've got a wife that's willing to do what it takes. Amen? How about you? Come on, men. You ought to thank God if you've got a wife that has stuck by you for years and has been a good wife to you and a good mother to your children and just does what it takes, just keeps going. I tell you, my wife's like an Energizer bunny. Amen. I'm serious. And thank God for good ladies like this. The Bible says that she's not only a great worth, but she's one of good works. She works with her hands. She's not afraid to mix it up. She's not afraid to get the job done. That's what verse 13 and 14 is teaching us. Then verse number 15, verse number 15 talks about godly worship. You know, for years I would read this, and I want you to pay special attention to verse number 15. I would read this. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. For years I would read that and I would think, what is going on here? You know, what kind of woman has servants and she serves them? Because when you read that, that's what the scriptures, it appears on the surface to be saying. She gets up really early before the sun rises while it's night. You see what the scripture says there in verse 15? Look at it now. It says she gets up real early while it's night and she begins to do things and prepare things so that she can give to meat to her children and then a portion to her maidens. And I began to look at some of these words in here, the meat and the portion, and that each one went back to a spiritual connotation. So here's a woman that not only is of great worth and of good work, but she's of godly worship. You know what this is saying? This is saying that this woman is kind of like, which I believe all women are, I believe the scripture teaches this, the Holy Spirit of the home. They set the spiritual barometer of the home. Here's a woman that got up and spent time with God and time in the Word of God so that when her children got up, it wasn't a bunch of screaming and yelling. It wasn't impatience and running behind all day. Listen, there's nothing greater than there's times that I'll get up and I'll be upstairs and I'll be taking care of some things. I like to have my personal time and I'll come downstairs and my good wife will be sitting there reading the Word of God. You just don't know. You men who know what I'm talking about, what a wonderful feeling that is. Amen. Your wife, a godly lady, sitting there reading the Word of God, in tune, communing with God, communing with the God of heaven, getting that attitude, getting that spirit, getting things in tune with God, brethren. That's where it's at. That's where it's at. If we could just get folks to see, when you start your day, the greatest way to start your day is with the God of heaven. And here the Bible says this lady, oh, she has a lot to do. When you read this, and we all know that women and mothers, listen, mothers wear all kinds of hats. Amen. I mean, they're chauffeurs and they're cooks and they're cleaners and they're clothes washers and they're dishwashers. Ladies have all, they're referees. They have to referee fights. You say, between who, preacher? Well, sometimes between the husband and the wife, but most of the time it's between the siblings. Amen. Between the children. Women wear all kinds of hats. But yet, the Bible says you want to find a godly lady, a virtuous woman. She's a godly woman. She gets up while it is yet night. She realizes no matter what I've got to do, I've got to keep God first in my life. Now, ladies, listen to me. God wants to encourage you with this. You'll never get to the place in your life where you won't need God first in your life. you'll need to put God first in your life. You say, I want my family to be all they should be for Jesus, preacher. Well, then you put God first in your life, and they will be. Amen. You keep God where God needs to be, and that's on the throne of your heart. How am I going to do that, preacher? Well, verse number 15 says, she rises up also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household. Oh, listen. When mama's strolling around the kitchen and strolling around the house singing Sweet Hour of Prayer, instead of some bebop, instead of some metal merchant, listen to me now, instead of some boogie-woogie or some boot-scootin' boogie, listen now, when she's singing Sweet Hour of Prayer, victory in Jesus at Calvary. See, when mama's singing that, the home's got a good sweet perfume in it. Amen? Amen. Now, how's that going to happen? Well, she's going to get up early and spend some time with Jesus. That's what she's going to do. She's going to spend some time with the Lord so that when her children get up, she can minister some spiritual things, and then she can also be for those that are working in the home. So there's worship. Then I want you to notice verse 16 through 18, there's wisdom. She considereth. You see that word there? It's not just somebody who makes flippant decisions. She considereth, verse number 16 says, a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands, she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengthen her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth out, not out by night. What's this saying? Saying that she's exercising wisdom, financial wisdom, physical wisdom. Look, if you would there, it's speaking about financial wisdom in verse number 16. She considers things before she just buys. She don't just buy on a whim, say, oh, well, we got the money. No, she considers. She's looking to make the right purchase at the right time, at the right price. Then it says in verse number 17, she girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. You say, what's she doing? Sounds like she's doing aerobics to me. She understands that there's a little profit in bodily exercise. And the Bible says bodily exercise profiteth little. Does it say that? Hey, here's a complete woman. Who can find a woman like this? Can I tell you? Many of you have. You ought to praise God for her. You say, well, she's not all she should be. Yeah, just like you're not all you should be. But she's a woman who loves the Lord and is trying to do right, who is striving to be this Proverbs 31 woman. And God wants every lady in this fellowship to know you can be that woman. You can. I'm going to show you how in just a moment. Many of you already are. Listen, you're here. Look at what it says. Not only is there wisdom, but there's welfare. In verse number 19, she layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She cares about other people. She's involved in ministry, helping those who can't give back. You want to find out the true heart of a person? Look at who the people help. Now, there's a lot of people that help people, but did you know that a lot of people only want to help those who can give back? I'll do something for you if you'll do something for me, right? What's this woman doing? This woman's helping the poor and the needy. She's helping those who can't give back. She is. Did you know that that will go so far in the home? When children see mama unselfish, when children see a woman that is willing to take of her time and to invest it into the lives of others, it makes a profound impact in their life. This is good stuff here, brethren. We often say, well, if we could just get Washington straightened out, our country would be a better place. I know there's a lot of problems in Washington. You know what our country needs? Our country needs a good dosage of Proverbs 31. And we've got the ladies in our fellowship that if you'll just keep letting your light shine, don't quit now, just keep letting your light shine, it's going to make an impact on somebody else's life. Just keep doing what you're doing, ladies. You godly ladies that are putting Jesus first and serving God with your life, and you've got your family. Listen, your family is a priority for you, and you're not a whiner and a complainer and somebody who expects everything on a silver spoon. Listen to me. This is what God is going to use to turn our nation back to Him. You lose the ladies, you lose the land, brethren. The last thing to go, now you hear me now, the last thing to go in every generation, in every empire that's ever gone down the drain, the last thing to go was the ladies. You lose the ladies, you lose the land. And we need to really pray, and we need to do all we can to encourage our good, godly ladies here at Fellowship Baptist Church and in our communities and support them and help them. Now watch what it says. Not only is there wisdom in verse 16 and 17 and 18, there's generous welfare here. She making her life count for others. She's involved in ministry. Verse 21 and 22, speak of her wardrobe. You writing this down? So we have worth. We have works. We have worship, wisdom, welfare. She's reaching out to others, and she's looking out after their well-being, and now her wardrobe. She's concerned about her children. And verse 21, she is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all of her household are clothed with scarlet. She's got them clothed. And then she's concerned about her clothing. I want you to notice something about her clothing. It says in verse 22, she maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. See, she's not one of these say, well, you know, it doesn't matter. I'm going to wear, you know, just anything. I'm going to be me. No, she's concerned. She wants her children to be warm. She wants her children to be adequately dressed. And she wants to be adequately dressed. Amen? You say, well, you know, a person just stays around the house and washes dishes and cleans and does all that. Doesn't matter what they wear. Ladies, you know it matters what you wear. I don't have to stand up here and tell you it matters what you wear. You know it matters what you wear. Listen, the scripture says this was not just some washerwoman. This was an elegant lady who understood the value of her wardrobe. And she dressed in an elegant way. She dressed in a modest way. She dressed in a way that would bring honor to her family and glory to her God. And it says here in verse number 21 that she's not afraid of the snow. Nope, she's not afraid because she wanted to make sure that her children were clothed with scarlet. When you put scarlet and you begin to look at scarlet in the scripture, it's always connotated with wool to keep them warm, to be adequate for them. And then in verse 22, she makes herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. I think it's good when a man will support his wife and say, hey, go buy you something, amen? Go get you something. Come on. Do something for yourself. Women are some of the most unselfish people in all the world. They're always doing for others. Do us good, men, to tell our wives, go get you something. Or here, come with me, I'm going to get you something. And they're thinking, oh, please, heaven, you know, let me get it for he picks it out. Amen. Amen. You want your wife to buy something, you tell her you're going to buy her something. To wire, that is. I just can't get her to buy anything, preacher. You threaten her that you're going to buy it for her, and she'll get her something. Amen. So there's the wardrobe. Then if you would notice in verse 23 through 25, and I'm building to a point here before I close. Verse 23 through 25, you say, preacher, there's no way a person could be all this. Well, sure there is. Sure there is. This is not rocket science, brethren. There was a day when a lot of ladies in America lived this. You understand that? You say, that's unfathomable. That's unreachable. That's unattainable. Oh, no. No, this is womanhood. This is the way God created it for women. Amen. This is God's crown jewel of creation. This is what God is looking for in the home, a woman that will take her place and a woman that will be that crown, that woman that will bring that beauty and that serenity and that completeness. This is what God is looking for. I'm going to show you something as we close here, but look at verse number 23. Her husband, it goes to, from her worth to her works to her worship to her wisdom to her welfare and her wardrobe, now her being a wife. Look at what it says. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. Now, what does that mean? This is about women, not men, but yet it mentions her husband and how he's known. It means just that, like the old saying, behind every good man is a good woman. It says he's known in the gates. She supports him. You know, he is what he is because she is what she is. I'm going to say that again. Now, men, listen. He is what he is because she is what she is. I want to go on record saying I wouldn't be near the man I am, and I'm not that much, but I am what I am by the grace of God and a good wife. Amen. I thank God for a good wife. And here's a man that was known in the gate. That means he was a leader in that area. That's where commerce, that's where business was done in the gate. And it says that he was known in the gates, and when he sitteth down with the elders of the land, they recognize, here's a man with a supportive and a good and a godly and a loyal and a virtuous wife. Not some flirt, not some harlot. Amen. But a good, godly woman. who stood behind her husband and was there for her family. Verse 24, look what it says. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in the time to come. What's that mean? That means that she doesn't fall to pieces, and every time the husband walks in, we got a problem, the sky's falling. Yeah, not Chicken Little. You know, things happen in life, but she's got some strength and some honor. She got up in the morning and she spent that time while it was still night. She spent that time with God and she understood some things, that God was in control and that she had a role to support and to back and to be there for her family and her husband. And so because of that, the Bible says strength and honor are her clothing. Look at the latter part of verse 25. And she shall rejoice in time to come. What's that mean? That means that she knows God's in control. She's not sitting around and fret about tomorrow and the future. She's rejoicing because she knows how this thing is going to end. You do too if you're saved in the grace of God. Amen? Let me give you a couple more here. Not only is she these things, it comes down to wife, but look at the words. I like verse 26. It says, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Not lazy. Not always screaming out things, not always whining and complaining, but she's a true lady who understands that, you know, the words of kindness, when she opens her mouth with wisdom and the words of kindness, not tearing down and dissension and slander. Ladies, can I ask you something? For God's sake, don't get caught up in this thing that's sweeping our country to where it's slander. It seems to be the thing that's in vogue today is just a slander. Did you know the root word of the word devil is attached to slander? Don't be a slanderer. Don't be a tearer downer. Be a builder upper. Amen. Build your children up. Build your husband up. Build your home up. Build people up. Edify people. Notice what the Bible says about this godly lady in verse number 26. She openeth her mouth with wisdom. There's a time to speak and a time not to speak. There's a time and a season for everything under the sun. And the scripture says, in her tongue is the law of kindness. She knows how to control her tongue. You say, what about you men, preacher? Well, we got it bad too, but I'm talking to the ladies today. The men's time's coming in June. The final thing that I want you to see before I give you the reason that this was presented here, it's not only her words, but her witness. Notice what the scripture says here in verse number 28. Ladies, I'll never be convinced. Now, I'm not a mother, but I'm a father, and I think that they're very close in some areas. They're way apart in many areas. All of us want our children to grow up and be good contributors to society, godly young people who serve Jesus with their life, people who make an impact on others and leave a legacy for others to follow. Notice what the Bible says that this lady that has placed a priority and a premium on things that today that society scoffs at. See, the devil scoffs at these things. Society, Hollywood, you know, that sewer line that's pumped out of L.A. Listen, Hollywood scoffs at this. They say, you ain't living until you've been married about a half a dozen times. Bleh! Got to drink and curse and spew out vulgarity before you can really show how strong of a woman you are. Really? Got to be loud and boisterous. Show all your curves and wink at all the men. Really? Really? That's what you want to be? God have mercy. And yet, brethren, we live in a society where this seems to be accepted today. God deliver us from that mentality. God help us get into this book and see what God's expectations and what God's realities for women, men, boys and girls really are. You see, there's a better life out there, brethren. I'm telling you, there's a place in God. There's a place in God for people. And we're missing it. We're missing it. Because we're listening to the wrong voices. We're following the wrong influences. We've made up our mind that what God says is not right, but what we think is right is right. Listen to me. That's not so. That's not so. Where does it guide us? How's it working? Our kids are killing our kids. Our parents are killing their kids. They don't even let them get out of the womb, and they're killing the kids. They're going on shooting sprees and shooting people they don't even know. They go in and just gun down 20, 30, 40 at a time. Why? Because we've gotten away from this book. We scoff at it and we say, well, you know, that's old-fashioned. That's antiquated, preacher. No, it's not antiquated. The Word of God is just up to date. Listen, can I tell you this book is fresher and is up to date as the paper that came off the press this morning? Heaven and earth shall pass away, but this old book right here, God's Word, shall never pass away, brethren. Never. When I say to you, I say to you on the authority of the Word of God, this is where it's at. You want to live life with some fulfillment and some purpose? Ladies, get hold of this. Men, if your wife and the mother of your children is living this, you get behind her and say, honey, I just want you to know I'm not missing it. I see what you're doing. I'm here to support you. I want to be your biggest encourager. I'm your biggest fan. Amen. Listen to me, sir. Many times we as men can be to our wives what wind is to a fire. We can either fan it or blow it out. Don't you listen, if your wife's trying to live for Jesus, don't you try to discourage that. Don't you do anything that would disrupt that. You get behind her and support her with all that's within you. Well, you know, honey, we don't want to get too spiritual. Somebody might think we're a quack or something. Well, you don't have too much of a problem getting quacky down at the ball field. I know, I've seen some of you. Amen. You say, I didn't see you. Yeah, I didn't want you to. Amen. I was afraid you might speak to me and they might know we was... No, listen. We all are excited about something. What are you excited about? I want to do what this book teaches. I want to support the ladies and encourage the ladies and the young women of this church. This is where it's at right here. It's not in Glamour magazine. It's not. It's not on these shows where the women, you know, loud and boisterous and cursing. That's repulsive. Where have our values gone? Where is our moral compass today? There was a day when everyone would say, you're right, preacher. Amen. Preach it, preacher. Preach it. That stuff is sewer. That stuff is garbage. And now people sit there like, man, I tell you, something got into the preacher. No, the preacher's always felt this way. Since I got saved by the grace of God, there's right and there's wrong. And I didn't determine what it was. God had that determined way before I got saved. Let's go to this final thing on the witness here. Verse 28, her children arise up and call her blessed. Oh, ladies, if you'll follow this model that God has given, if you'll aim for this standard, if you'll aim for this standard, oh, yes, you'll fall short like we all fall short. We all fall short of the glory of God. But if you'll aim at this standard and say, I want my life to count for Jesus. I want to count for God. I want to shine as a light in a crooked and perverse nation. Listen, if you'll aim for this standard, the Bible says you'll make an impact on your children. They'll rise up and call her blessed. Oh, she's blessed. Amen. We're blessed to have her. Right? Not only with her children, but it says her husband also. And he praiseth her. He praiseth her. Then it says her community will. Verse number 29. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. What about that? This mom who took care of her family, her children, her husband. Did you know that the Word of God, the Spirit of God said, you're the highest thing that a woman can be. What about that? Now you listen to the world and they'll tell you differently. But you read this book right here, it'll tell you where you want to attain the highest. It's right here. Amen? It says many. Look at verse number 29 now. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. There's none above you because you got your priorities in line. Now you say, well, preacher, I couldn't be like this lady. This lady looks like that she has no flaws, no faults, and I fall so short. Who is this lady? Who is this lady? I close today by giving you her name. Chapter 31, verse number 1. The book of Proverbs begins with a father giving counsel to his son, but it closes with a son giving tribute to his mother. This is Solomon. He's addressed by a pet name that his mother gave him, Lemuel. And it says in chapter number 31, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that it is his mother. Who's Solomon's mother? Help me out. Bathsheba. Now, who is this Bathsheba that David is saying, son, oh, you need to thank God for your mother. She is something. Who is this woman? Well, preacher, everybody in the community knew her as that woman who committed adultery. That Bathsheba, that homewrecker, went over to the palace and wrecked a home, and her husband was murdered, and all of this. Listen, but God got that straightened out, and she turned her life around. And I don't know that I'm not talking to somebody here today that you need to get your life turned around. I don't know. But I'm telling you, Jesus can do it. It says here in verse number 2, what, my son? What, the son of my womb? And what, watch this now, the son of my vows. She came to a place in her life where she said, you know what, I'm going to change. I'm going to make some vows to God. I'm going to live my life differently. Did you know that every virtuous woman has to come to that place in their life at some point? Every person does. What about you? Have you come to that place? You know, I'm going to be different. I'm going to do it God's way. I'm going to quit trying to do it my way. I can't tell you, I've tried to do it my way. My way just doesn't work. It just doesn't. God's way always works. It does. Let's all stand. Now, here's a good, godly lady. If I'd have just got up this morning and told you, you know what, I'm going to tell you some things about Bathsheba, and I begin to tell you that, you'd have said, oh, no, preacher, wait a minute. You said the wrong name. You meant to say Jochebed, didn't you? That's Moses' mother. Didn't you mean to say Hannah? Samuel's mom? No, Bathsheba. Bathsheba. She made her share of mistakes, just like you have, and just like I have. But I'm glad that grace is greater than all of our sin. And where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Now, you may be here today and you may think, you know what, I could never become that preacher. Some of you that are this, at one time were at that place. You thought, I could never become that. Through Christ, you can become whatever you set your heart to and God allows you to become. Now, you can. You can be this woman right here, the virtuous woman, the woman of virtue and the woman of value. Let's bow our heads together. On this Mother's Day,